to come down to share with you today. Whether or not you get a pencil, it's still a thrill to be here today and to like my mother used to say, I'm forgiven, but I ain't forgetting. So, to be in God's house, to be able to share with you today, I am encouraged by folks that want to come into God's house to receive something from Him. Thank you, fellas. Thank you, fellas. I know that with everything that is going on in our nation, everything that's going on around us, every time we turn on a radio, turn on the internet, every time you see a news report and all like that, there are many questions out in the world. And the more questions I hear and the more times that I hear people unsure of what the future may hold, the more I am founded and strengthened with my faith in what God's Word says. Yes. That's where my faith lies. That's where my strength is. I know without a shadow of a doubt that He who lives within me, God's Holy Spirit living within me, is greater than anything that can come against you in this world. Yes. My friend, there are people under the sound of my voice who have been dealing with stuff. One of the fellows that just walked out the door over there, Big Bob, who we make a lot of joke around a little bit like that, just back on just the 4th of May there, his wife, 63 years old, went to be with the Lord very suddenly, and you see him down here this morning with a smile upon his face. You see him sharing the good things that God has done for him. How do you deal with a loss like that unless you have God living within your heart? Up at the church here, he's bringing his helper over there to our services. And somebody got a hold of me and says, I want to share something with you, his helper. His name is Ricky, and he says, I want you to see what he wrote on his Facebook page. I go, that's pretty good, because I'm not all that technically savvy. So when somebody tells me what they wrote, I'm all excited. He says, I think it's time for me to have more of God in my life. That makes you feel good that what you are trying to proclaim is touching people's hearts. If, and I believe that the study that you had at somewhere between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock, what was that time given out yesterday that was all, I don't know, 3 o'clock. So I believe that the time that you get together and you get into God's Word and He will just bless your heart by the little nuggets of wisdom that you will find, things that you can apply within your life. I believe that when you get together, whether it's your own home church and your own Sunday school, whether you have small gatherings to look into God's Word, that He will bless it so much. But I also believe that on Sunday morning and wherever you attend your service, whenever it is, that you should get together and you should simply proclaim the name of Jesus. Yeah. I think it should be a celebration. I think it should be a time of uplifting because, my friend, you have no idea of what is going on in that person who is sitting next to you. Now, don't look around. Don't you look around. Yeah, I had my suspicions. Now, I don't want you to be thinking about it like that. But you have no idea sometimes what people are struggling, what they are going through. So what I do is I go right back to the basics. I go time and time again, over and over, what I feel is the foundation of what God has given us. If you mentioned God to somebody and they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and they wanted to start to read their Bible, where would you send them? I would send them to the book of St. John. See, that person's calling. Send her the book of St. John when you answer the phone. Say, we need to look in the book of St. John. That's one of them. Do act like that. You can't hear me? Okay. Okay. Just got to mess with them. Just I would start in the book of St. John, the first chapter. And I love that first verse because it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. That's where you begin. Understanding, information of who God is. And this thing that we read from, this is a living thing. This is God's word. Come on, that's all right. Don't worry. It doesn't bother me. Well, when I owe a lot of bills, it bothers me when those phones go off. But, you know, but I read that and I say, boy, that's exciting. What a way to start off. Then I drop all the way down into the 14th verse. And it reads, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who are they talking about? Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. And then I keep on reading down, and I get all the way down to the 26th verse, and this is talking about John the Baptist, the one who was sent forth before, with one primary goal, that is to proclaim the name of the one who would follow after him. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you who you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethera, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him. Boy, this is a good part. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Open our ears, open our hearts, so we'll receive that which you have for each one of us today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Abraham Lincoln one time was approached by a man who was trying to impress him, get on his good side. And he said, Mr. President, he says, back from the state where I come from, the folks there make this statement. Says the safety and the future of our country lies with God and Abraham Lincoln. President Lincoln turned and he smiled and he said, well, sir, you have it half right. You have it half right. He says, because I know that without God, I cannot be successful. Without God, I cannot be successful. But with his blessing, I cannot fail. With his blessing, I cannot fail. My friend, that is a testimony that each and every one of us should have. We have issues in our life. We have things that just, you know, that I don't understand. We have people looking in everything you get on that television, they'll sell you things that you didn't know you needed, but now you know you need just because you watched that show. I was heard of a fellow, big executive, who his psychiatrist sent him off to Hawaii to relax and all. And so he sent him an email back and he said, doctor, he says, I am having a marvelous time here in Hawaii. I wish you were here to tell me why. Come on. We have things, we have questions, we have things going on in our lives that we simply don't have an answer for if you don't have God in your life. If you got God in your life, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. You're going to have things that come against you because there is someone who walks about this earth seeking whom he can devour, and you're not going to be on his good side. But my friend, I have someone that is going to stick closer to them, brother. I have someone that is going to lift me up. I'm going to have someone that I can trust in. I wrote this down, and I really enjoy it. Down at the Alamo, at the entrance, there's a portrait. And under this portrait, there's a caption. And it says, in parentheses, James Butler Bonham. And it says, no portrait of him exists. This is a portrait of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembled his uncle. It is placed here by the family that people may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. People may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. How appropriate is that here on this day that we are celebrating? I still, folks, believe that I am living in the greatest country that has ever been.
Amen.
I see the pride. Oh, you hear all the things, you hear all the questions, you hear. But I also feel the pride that we have in the United States of America. I live in the most generous nation that has ever been. I live in a nation that is founded upon freedom for all. No matter what your situation is, no matter where you have been born, it offers freedom to all. In my office up at church there, and it's a wonderful office I have. Kevin and Becky can tell you they've been in there. My office is about that big right there. Maybe not quite that big. I do have pencils in it, just to let you know. My own pencils. Nobody gave them to me. And I have a refrigerator over there. And it's full of water. Because our little church over there, we don't have a drinking fountain, so we hand out bottles of water. And we have up in the freezer ice cream. We won't get into that, but but on the wall, there's a portrait. It's of Jesus. Just a few weeks ago, we had a funeral there, and a young man came in, and he was kind of in the hallway next to my office, and I saw him. I kind of waved him on in. Come on in. A little fella, he kind of looked up, and he says, is that a picture of Jesus? And I kind of smiled, and I said, well, it's kind of a picture of a portrait of what this painter thought that Jesus may look like. He said, oh. He says, what's that thing up on the corner there? And what I have is a little crown of thorns that somebody weaved. And I have it sitting up there. And I said, that's what Jesus had placed upon his head as he went to suffer and die for all of us. And he kind of put his hands on his hips and he looked at me. He says, I got to get me a picture of Jesus. Because children understand. Children have their hearts that are moved. They haven't lived all these things that we've lived. They haven't become jaded. The most important group that is here today has already left. They're over in the room like that. Because that is where futures are going to be molded. That is where people are going to find faith that is going to carry them through a lifetime of things not going so well. I have a portrait of a man within my office, although it's just an artist's rendering. Also, a man who died for freedom. A man who died for the freedom of our souls, of our souls. It's a thrill to come here. It's a thrill to share with you. I know that within a group like this, that there are going to be people who are just full of God's love. Also, I know that some folks in here that, well, they're coming this morning, they might have trying to get out of the doghouse. I don't know. I don't know where you come. You may have liked our songs we sang earlier. You might not have. But we like singing them. And that's why we do it. Because they talk about the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. That song we finished with, The Lighthouse, over there. And we do that to make Becky happy. Kevin does such a good job on it. And maybe someday I'll get a pencil because of it. We don't do it just to entertain you. We do it to hopefully allow God through His Holy Spirit to speak to you. Something that tugs within your heart. Kevin's going to come in just a moment, and I apologize for having to leave. It's a little bit of a drive. As I said before, there's a whole lot of people in my church wish it was a lot longer drive. But my friend, you have people here that do this because they want to serve God. They come in, they set up things, they've gotten tables full of donuts. But you know what? They're doing it because they have the love of God living within them. And God has spoken to their hearts and said, this is something that you need to share. I don't know what your situation is. In just a moment, Kevin's going to come and ask you a question, a very simple question. Do you have Jesus Christ within your heart as a personal Savior? It's a very simple thing. It's not something that, no, it's a very simple decision that you make. Some of you have lived quite a few years on this world. Amen, brother? Some of you have been around for a long time. You made plenty of decisions in your life. This is just something within your heart that you say, you know what? I need to make a decision. I need to start from here on, changing my priorities. A little less of me and a lot more of God. Rick Warren wrote that book, and it begins, it's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about God. And I love that statement. The first time I heard it, and then the more I heard it, I just loved it, and I loved it, and I loved it. Because this is what we do. We gather together to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. So that as that light is lifted up, all men, women, children may be drawn unto Him. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. My sermons are not earth-shattering. They're not something going to make you scratch your head. You're simply looking at an old sinner saved by grace.
Yes.
Plain and simple. And I believe that He's put us here with purpose. Boy, I'm hearing things I never heard of before. I heard they got a cure for gray. Did you hear that? I'm going to put my order in for a 55-gallon drum. They got things that are going on now. This technology is the greatest I've ever seen. Boy, we have information just like that. It still doesn't change what your condition is within your own heart. There's only one individual that can change that. That is you. He's there for you to ask. He's there waiting. Brother Kevin, and no applause or anything, I'm just going to sneak out this door here without a pencil. And I appreciate you. And I appreciate you allowing me to be here today.
Did you get a pencil?
And not only are you getting a pencil, you're getting a donut.
Oh, thank you. Oh, two pencils.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye.